Kitty Kōwhai Makaere is with us today. Kitty Kōwhai is the Pauarahi of Te Kahui Raranga, the Iwi Data Sovereignty Board, and she is also on the New Zealand 2023 Census Program Board in that capacity. Census data is being released in a couple of weeks. Thanks for joining us on the show. Kitty Kōwhai, ko Dale Tene.
Kia ora, Dale.
Kia ora. Data sovereignty is an increasingly important issue as we see incursions into our privacy on a super regular basis. Now with facial recognition technology, when you're walking through the supermarket, CCTVs everywhere. But just wondering how Māori or iwi data sovereignty affects the census data and the mahi of those working on our census. Let's start with the iwi partnership, which led to iwi collecting our data for our people, by our own people who participated. And what did you make of that as we look towards getting the most accurate data we can with the census to come?
All right, so under the Manawarite Relationship Agreement that the Data Iwi Leaders Group have with Statistics New Zealand, we were able to run some pilots in terms of iwi-led collections in the 2023 census. So up north, a collective, Ohua of iwi, Apa Nui and Rerohe and Tairawhiti, a collective of iwi, led out the collection of census, not just for their people, but actually for their rohe, which we can see in the published coverage and response rates had significant benefit.
Okay. What could we do better, do you think, Kitty Kōwhai, about getting Māori support to furnish data which gives us a clearer picture of the state of NZ's demography?
I think one of the things we need to think about is understanding trust is the currency of data, and that trust, particularly in our communities, doesn't necessarily sit in Wellington or with Wellington in government, but trust sits in our own communities, particularly with a lot of iwi. And in those areas, you saw how iwi stood up incredibly fast during the sort of different weather events, and their communities then trusted them to be able to give that data. And so I think going forward, it's understanding that iwi have the capability and capacity to be able to undertake these collections with and in their own communities.
Okay. There've been mistakes in the past, haven't there? And so I just wonder if there's been a lack of confidence in the way that we're collating information here and how that might be improved. With increased digital connectivity, are we utilising it to get better information from Ngāi Māori? What would you say of how we might improve the census collection regime?
So I think, 2018 was the lowest response rate we've ever seen for Māori in the census, and they actually went to a digital-first strategy, which without really taking into consideration, there are still big pockets in our country which have high Māori populations that are digitally disconnected. And so, yes, I think we need to think about how we use technology, but don't underestimate the power of being in touch with our communities in making sure we capture our community voice and the nuance of, you know, of our voice.
Tēnā koe. So we need to get census representatives, familiar faces within our communities. How might we establish a Māori data collection regime that either is involved in the census funding kaupapa or just beside it to complement what they're doing from Wellington?
I think a big part of that is making sure we're investing in infrastructure for iwi Māori. If we think about, a metaphor of a wakahaurua or a double-hulled canoe, and one hull is the government or kāwanatanga, the other hull is, you know, te tiriti partners, iwi, hapū, Māori. There's been a lot of investment in one hull and one side in terms of all of that information infrastructure, so we need to have equitable investment in the other hull so that our waka can, you know, travel to the destination it's meant to go to. And I think if we get that equitable investment, infrastructure investment, then that will be a powerful data ecosystem that we start to create in Aotearoa.
Tēnā koe, I've enjoyed talking about census, Mahi. Can I talk about the wider iwi data sovereignty issues. And while we know there's a huge facility being built here in NZ by Microsoft, there are still concerns that the data that is stored there and the sovereignty of that data, who has the rights to access it and to clear it. Do you think we have resolved the Māori data sovereignty issue as well as we might? And if not, what are some of the challenges that remain in that space? Kitty Kofler?
Definitely. I think we've got to be clear on what we mean by sovereignty. So if it's a big American corporate holding your data, there are particular laws where the American government can access anything held by an American company, which doesn't necessarily result in us having ultimate sovereignty over our data. I think it's understanding in the spectrum of data, what do we want to have the most mana over? What are we okay with sharing? What are we okay with sitting in a cloud or somebody else's servers? I think we haven't got to the result where we are allowed all of those options yet in regards to tribal sovereignty, but I know that there are big programs and projects being piloted now to look at how we can offer options in terms of tribal data sovereignty for our people.
Well, that data has been collected everywhere we look, every phone we use, everywhere we go now. Just perhaps to personalise it, I mean, are you satisfied with your personal data sovereignty? There's a tribal and iwi data sovereignty, there's a people's, but then there's a person's. Do you just go along with the flow? I think I do, but how else might we if we have concerns?
I think it is, at the end of the day, is how do we allow people to be informed about what they are doing, you know, with respect to their personal data and make decisions accordingly. At the moment, I don't think people are getting enough information to make informed decisions. There are quite a few sort of apps and things that I don't personally use or download or let my children use because I understand what's happening with the data. That's not the case for everybody, but I think it's maybe, you know, part of our responsibility in terms of the mahi we do for the Data Iwi Leaders Group to provide that information so at the end of the day our people can make an informed decision, and that's their own decision to make.
Yeah, well, an example really is I think the Americans want to ban TikTok, don't they? Because they're fearful that the Chinese are collating information about United States teens. I mean, it's quite bizarre that to me, but I mean, is that a threat that we need to be mindful of?
We need to be mindful of these different collection tools that different corporations and countries are using. Yes, America they did ban TikTok for a little while, and then they went into negotiations about where the TikTok users in America's data would be stored, and I don't know if they're going to change it again. And you know, in the same breath, Facebook, Meta, Instagram, that all gets stored, you know, it all gets pulled back to America, and so they're okay with that. It's just their data going in, you know, to other places they're not okay with, which is something that we should be cognizant of.
I'm intrigued too. I think there's a state in Australia looking to ban under 14-year-olds from social media. Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that, but I have not allowed my children to go on social media until a certain age. Some of that is because of data. Some of that is because of the research around the impacts of that type of false narrative that perpetuated across social media on well-being and on children's well-being as they're sort of growing up.
Yeah, and, you know, you can feel that you're not good enough, you're not tall enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not pretty enough when you're bombarded with this sort of inane imagery that social media can provide at times.
That's true. I think so. It really emphasises the importance of instilling in our tamariki, you know, knowing who they are, where they're from, the importance of their identity, and how special that is in terms of being Māori, of being iwi, hapū. And so it just emphasises that whilst there's massive investment in artificial intelligence, we need to make sure we're doing equal investment in our own intelligence, people intelligence, bringing forward our ancestral intelligence but also investment in critical thinking.
Well, some really interesting points you raise, and thanks very much. We morphed from census data and iwi sovereignty to TikTok and social media. I don't know how that happened, but anyway, I appreciate you going for the ride with it. Thanks very much, Kiri Kofi.
Kei te whai. You're welcome. Here.
Good talking with you. Thanks.
Ka kite.
Kiri Kofi Mikaere Pauarahi of Kahui Raranga, the Iwi Data Sovereignty Board.